All right, welcome everybody to the Nick Middle Life and Leadership Podcast. Here again with my beautiful bride, Tarina. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. You almost fell off your stool there.
I know. I'm slowly learning how to sit on a stool.
That is a stool that I use to, sometimes I'll stand, sit on it.
Yeah, because it has this movable top.
The seat kind of rotates, but if you're just sitting on it, that's challenging.
It's for a standing desk.
That's right. I need to have a little button or something on it so you can grip a hold of it while you're sitting.
Right.
I don't have that.
I need handles.
Oh, I wasn't thinking a handle.
I'm clumsy anyway.
So let's talk about, last time we talked about you wanted something funny.
Yes.
I don't know if it was funny or not. But
I laughed.
You did laugh. But we talked about the morning at the men's spa in Las Vegas. You know, that could have gone a lot worse. I mean, a family could have walked in.
Right?
It could have been a lot worse. Some ladies could have walked in.
I thought it was a men's spa.
I did too. I'm pretty sure it was. But like, I'm just saying, it could have been worse than it was. It was bad, but it could have been worse than it was.
Always.
So let's talk about a little bit of leadership. Let's talk about doing hard things.
Okay.
One of the...
Like what? Like running more than a jaunt or...
Well, I mean, what is hard? I mean, I guess it depends on the person. But I mean, this is something... I actually did a leadership drip on it last month.
Okay.
Month before last.
What's a leadership drip?
Well, you know what the leadership drip is, but that's a good cue up question.
Sorry.
The leadership drip, does not stand for a venereal disease. It is it stands for direction, responsibility, integrity, and productivity. And man, it was how long have I been doing that? 9 years? 10 years?
Yes.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time.
But maybe 10 years ago, I was doing a workshop and a contractor said, Nick, you come in, you give my guys some good ideas, some insights, some wisdom, some best practices, but then we don't hear from you for a year. And how much is this really going to stick? And I thought, well, what's the solution to that? And so I came up with some help of some people. I came up with this this concept of the leadership drip. And the drip was taken off the concept of drip irrigation. You go out to Northern California. I've got a lot of clients out there. You've got these vineyards that just go across these rolling hills. And every one of them has a drip line.
Mm-hmm.
And they are getting a slow and steady stream of water. You know, one drip at a time. Slow and steady. And if you turn that drip line on for a couple hours, not much good's going to happen. But if you leave that on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you'll saturate that entire county without wasting a single drop. And I thought, boy, most of the workshops that I give, most of the trainings that I do, it's a workshop. It's a keynote. And I go in and I deliver, you know, 300 ideas. And I don't do that as bad anymore. I really tone it down. But when I got started, in my business, for some reason, we put a lot more value on how much content we deliver, not near enough value. And did this content change anybody's behavior? Ultimately, the purpose of training is to change somebody's behavior. And I think sometimes we forget that and we let our ego get in the way. And I remember I was at a conference years ago and there was a gal on stage and she said, guys, I'm going to give you 400 ideas. And if you can just take one of those ideas and pull it out and change how you communicate or change how you lead, this is going to be worth your time. And I thought, well, that's the dumbest dadgum thing I've ever heard. Why give somebody 400 ideas, make them shift through them, confuse the heck out of them, and think we've done them a service? And I thought, what if instead we gave them one idea, reinforced it 400 different ways so that by the time they left the workshop or the keynote, it stuck?
That's good.
And I've tried with my trainings to stay very focused and very targeted and to reinforce those ideas with stories and ideas and illustrations. And because I want the behavior to change. I think that's how you know if I've done a good job is if that behavior changed. And so the leadership drip, it's a tip, tool, tactic, or technique that goes out every week. It's a short and sharp video. It's 1 to 3 minutes. I try to do 1 to 2 minutes, but I'm pretty wordy. And so 1 to 3 minutes is about where it's at. And every month has a theme.
Oh.
And every theme is broken down into however many Wednesdays there are in that month. And so 1 month we did hard things. I talked about what are hard things and why should we do them? What are the benefits of doing them? And what are the consequences if we don't? And every week, I got leaders all across the country that subscribe to the leadership drip. And they received a 1 to 3 minute video every week on hard things for that month. And there was probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 steps because there was 4 or 5 Wednesdays in that month. But it's a way for someone to stay engaged. It's a way for me to go a little bit deeper into something maybe I didn't go as deep in the workshop. And it's a pretty popular little solution.
So for one, you have a really good snap. Do you know that? Like, I can't snap like you do. That makes me sit up straight.
That's right. I've got a pretty strong snapping game.
Yes.
And I snap in my workshops. I get people's attention.
And then, yes, hearing you talk about the drip. I mean, I get them in my email every week. And I'm so sorry, honey. I don't listen to all of them.
You don't watch them. Well, my mom does.
Should. I share them to your Facebook page, but I don't always listen to all of them, and I apologize. But I know you put your heart into them, and they're real, and they're just you. So I was sorry I interrupted your whole story by asking you about the drip. So
well, no.
Where were we?
So, well, I should tell people how they can enroll in the drip because, you know, I don't charge for it anymore.
Right. Yes.
And, you know, about two, maybe three years ago now, I just felt the need to give it away.
Yes.
I had a lot of foremen and leaders in my workshop that wanted to get on it, but it was an investment. And so I'd be like, well, let me talk to your contractor. And I had a lot that did invest in it. And yes. I had some that did not. And I thought, why am I penalizing this foreman, this project manager that wants to learn? Because their contractor may not see value in it or doesn't have the budget for it. And
yeah.
And so I just decided to give it away. So I quit charging my contractors. And so now it's free.
Yeah.
And so you can find them on my page on YouTube. I don't know what it's called. Is it Nick Biddle, maybe?
Yeah, everything's nickbiddle.com. Okay.
But to subscribe to it, for me to send it to you each week, you simply text the word drip to the number 866-998-4545. I know that's a lot of numbers, but it's DRIP, D-R-I-P, doesn't have to be capitalized. Put that in the copy or in the text, and then in where you'd normally put a person's name or phone number, put the number 866-998-4545. Hit send. It will ask you your name. Give me your name. Hit enter. And then it'll ask you for your email. I will need that because these also come to your email. And then it finally asks you for your industry. Once you answer those three questions, you're in. And I don't sell anybody's information, not because of my integrity. I just haven't figured out how. As soon as I figure out how, we're selling it. But no, I don't sell anybody's information, but my system to send to you, because you will receive a YouTube link every Wednesday to your text message, and then you'll also receive an email. And in the email, I type out the drip so you can read it, you can archive it, you can read it to your team. I've got a lot of clients that use them for toolbox talks or safety talks, that kind of thing. And then below, at the bottom of the email, are the previous 4 or 5 weeks. But if you don't want to do all that, get on my Facebook page. We share them there, and get on YouTube. They're there, and
yeah.
Maybe it'll help.
Yeah. They're really good. I mean, the ones I've listened to.
Yeah, the two you've listened to.
I've listened That's to okay. more than that.
That's okay. So yeah, I did one on hard things because I think we have such a society of people. I'm not saying you, but I mean just us in general, we avoid hard things. And why is that?
Take the easy route. Oh, I mean, nobody enjoys pain.
True.
Physical, emotional, mental. Sometimes life is just enough. And
yeah, but what if we know those hard things are good for us?
I know.
Why do we avoid those? I mean, you've been doing cold showers and cold plunge for a long time. That's hard, right?
Kind of, but
I mean, I did it this morning. It's hard. It's hard for me. It's like, got to get in there. Got to set myself up for it.
Yeah.
But this is hard.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing this podcast with me. This is a hard thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But I'll do it for you.
But why is it hard?
Way out of my comfort zone.
And how? How so?
Well, I just like to be quiet, and I just like to listen to friends. Like, I'm the listener in a friendship, in a relationship. I really don't speak much in general.
I know, everyone, she sounded like your dream woman. Can you imagine? I've got buddies who just say, I get home, and it's like I've married an auctioneer. It is nonstop. And I'm like, yeah, my wife doesn't have very many words.
I'm sure I have those moments when you're gone a week or something, and then I come home, here's the to-do list.
No, I'll tell you, when you have words, is it at 5:30 in the morning when you wake up? Yes. Or 5? I mean, you want to talk and let's solve problems.
My brain is on fire.
And I am looking for a cup of coffee.
Yes.
The hard thing for me to do is to not say, shut up.
Right. That well, would, thank you.
That would not go well.
Well, and you like to discuss and talk and converse after 8 p.m. I'm out.
No, you're in bed by then. You're asleep.
My brain is closed.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Okay. We were talking about, hard things. What'd you say? Why is it hard to do hard? Or what?
I mean, this is I'm hard. Lost. I mean, there's a lot of things that we do that are hard. We encourage our kids to do hard things.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep. Why do we want them to do hard things?
I want them to grow and be better and be adults.
And if we know that doing hard things makes us grow, makes us better, will someday turn us into an adult.
Someday.
What's our hesitation? Is it just the pain piece of it?
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the
or fear, pain or fear.
I think fear drives a lot of our decisions. One of the first motivational tapes. Yeah, that I ever had was a Brian Tracy, and I think it was called Eat the Frog. But he had this concept. He said, I want you to get up every day. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I bought that at a garage sale for you.
I was in college.
Oh,
so we must have been dating. Yeah, because I listened to it.
Then like, I bet it was
all the time on the way
to pick
to
me
college
up.
At Branson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Eat the Frog. Before I came and picked you up, I had to psych myself up. No. But the concept was, what's the worst thing about your day? What's the hardest thing on your list? When you look at everything you have to do today, what's the thing you're dreading the most? And he said, you know, that's your frog. Eat it. Because if you wake up in the morning and you eat a frog, there's nothing else you're going to do that day. It's going to be worse. And I think too often we will delay doing the hard things. We'll put those off and hope they get easier tomorrow, or maybe we don't have to do them. And I think there's just a lot of magic in doing the hard things. And you talked about some of the benefits of doing the hard things, but you did. You said, well, I want my kids to grow. But personal growth is a reason we have to do those hard things.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the hard things that you've done that have helped you grow?
You put me on the spot.
That's the idea.
I don't know. I had to make some pretty big diet changes so I could feel better. I had a rough time in my 30s, and that seemed to be the only thing that worked. And it was really hard because it was completely against the grain of doing life. But it changed my course of my health for the better.
Yeah.
So, and that was really hard.
What else?
But that may not be hard for anyone.
Well, I don't know that. Then that's the problem. We fall in the comparison trap and we think, well, this is easy for them, so it doesn't count if it's hard for me. No, you're hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I get up on stage and I'll talk to 3 people or 1,000 people. That's easy for me. Some people, that scares them to death.
Yeah.
So there's other things that are hard for me that are easy for other people.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things we've talked to Cruz a lot, our son, or I have. I mean, we've talked to both of our kids, but I think Elle has always been very disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
She's, I mean, remember when she was little?
Very firstborn.
And she knew she couldn't handle sugar.
Right.
And she would go to my parents, and I don't know, I guess, and I'm not a grandparent yet, so I don't know. But I think when you become a grandparent, you're like, I'm just going to shove as much sugar down my grandkids' gullet as humanly possible. Your parents did it too.
Yeah.
I mean, and they all do it, and that's fine. And Cruz, would he just like line me up, man, back up the truck.
Right.
He was ready. But Elle knew. I mean, if she had too much sugar, she'd throw up. She'd get sick. And
yeah.
How old was she when she was turning it down?
Oh, my goodness. Kindergarten or younger.
Oh, yeah. And I would take them. It's like, hey, do you want some ice cream? Oh, no, Dad. I really shouldn't have that much sugar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, more for me and Cruz. But she's been able to do hard things for a long time.
Yeah.
She's been very disciplined. She must get that from you.
Oh, I don't know.
She doesn't get it from me.
But she came out mature.
She did.
Mm-hmm.
But then Cruz struggled with it. And so I've always really pushed on him. It's like, Cruz, I want you to get to where you like pain.
Yeah.
I said, most people, like you said at the beginning, we try to avoid pain. We want to gain pleasure. You know, we're motivated by two things, to gain pleasure or to avoid pain. That's what drives our decisions. And he really wanted to avoid pain. And I just would preach to him. It's like, listen, you've got to get comfortable with pain. If you cut your leg, man, be glad it's bleeding. You know, if you're working out, I remember that Muhammad Ali said he never counted his push-ups till after they started hurting. You know, and I would just encourage him. It's like, man, I want you to push it. Everybody else is trying to just get the 10 or 12 reps. And I want you to get 14. And then I want you to put more weight on. And everybody thinks you're crazy. And man, that's what you want. You want to be that crazy person.
Yeah.
But look what he's done.
I know.
In the last couple of years.
Yeah.
He's incredibly strong.
Very strong.
Incredibly determined.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Makes me feel lazy.
I think we are lazy.
So I'm like, do as I say, not as I do.
But he'll get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and do a workout before school some days.
Yes.
I'm like, what's he doing in there?
A lot of days.
He's doing an ab workout.
Yeah.
But I think doing the hard things has a lot to do with personal growth. Another thing is resilience. Do hard things, you become resilient. Because, I mean, the one thing that is going to happen in life is we are going to have setbacks. We are going to have failures. I've had a bunch. But if you are used to doing hard things or if you're willing to do hard things, you're gonna bounce back from that. Another quality I think I shared in that leadership drip around doing hard things is your productivity increases. Because how much time do we have that hard thing on our list and we just dread it? And our productivity goes in the toilet. And what if we just knock it out? What would that change? You're a very productive person.
Thank you.
I think one of the reasons is because you do hard things.
But then this is totally throwing a curveball in this whole conversation. But I listened to a book once, which I hate to say this word, but it's called To Hell with the Hustle.
Trina has a potty mouth, if you haven't noticed.
That was the title of the book. But it was about a guy who had worked so hard on self-help and productivity and doing hard things and making his health better, you know, every area of his life. He was exhausted from it. And so he took a season of rest. I can't remember if it was a year or what it was, but just a rest from all of it. And it was very renewing. And then he was ready for the next season of life. But do you ever feel like there are seasons of this? I mean, I know I have been in seasons of all kinds of growth, you know, spiritual, emotional, physical, everything. And then I'm in seasons of rest. You know, I mean, do you feel, am I making any sense?
Yeah.
Or is it an excuse? Or do I say that as an excuse?
No.
When I don't want to do something hard.
But I think that individual went through, in this book, went through this phase of doing all the hard things. And what was really hard for him to do was to slow down.
Yes.
To stop.
And I have that
trouble. You have that.
Yes.
That disease.
Yes.
I mean, yesterday, yeah, you were trying to get sick, I think.
I know.
How much did you sleep during the day?
8 hours.
During the day?
During the day.
I knew you were taking a nap.
That's horrible.
Well, see, but why is that horrible? If that's what your body needs, if that's the hard thing you need to do, then that's what you need to do.
Complete waste of time.
It's somebody who makes a career out of napping. That the hard thing for them is get their butt off the couch and go to work.
But I take naps every day. 20 minutes.
But you're 20 minutes. But you go, go, go. The hard thing for someone who is very productive, always going, very focused, very driven, hard thing for them is to stop, slow down,
yeah,
take a break. I mean, how many people do we know, they never take a vacation? They burn out. When they do take a vacation, they just work on their vacation.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of the qualities that my good friend Mark LeBlanc teaches me to do is create this ideal of your the profile of your ideal week.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not good at it, but he's like, when are you going to quit returning emails? What is that time of day where you're done?
Especially for business owners, that's hard because your phone and your email is always with you with technology these days. And
yeah,
that's a problem.
We don't put it down.
Yeah.
I was in...
Not that you have a problem, but that's a problem.
Well, but I used to. I still have. I'm not great at it, but I'm better. But I was in Salishan, Oregon.
Oregon.
The retreat. There was a retreat out there with some contractors. And we were kind of talking about great separation between work and home life and what mm-hmm. does that look like. And, mm-hmm. you know, when we moved to Corn, one of the things, and I don't know if you told me I had to do it or if I just figured out I needed to do it, but I was real bad about coming home from a trip or coming home from the office, walking into the house on a phone call.
Oh, I remember those days.
And it was horrible because the kids were little and they wanted to see me, and you were probably ready to kill the kids.
Well, and I'm really big about the greeting at the door.
You are.
I mean, maybe I'm old school, but
you're pretty old school.
You get up from what you're doing, you greet the person at the door with a hug, especially if you've come home from a trip, but even at the end of each day. Okay.
But one of the hard things that I implemented in my schedule was I would go park at the co-op and I would finish my call.
Good cell service there.
Yeah, yes. There's not a lot of places in Corn America that has great cell service, but for some reason we do at the co-op.
Yeah.
But I would sit there and I would finish my call. And I know there were times when you would see me on Live 360 coming home and you thought, well, he's going to be home in 30 minutes. And then in 30 minutes later, I wasn't home. You would look and where would I be?
Yeah, at the co-op.
At the co-op. And that may have frustrated you, but I feel like not having that phone in my ear when I walked in was more important.
Oh, yes. And you told me I'm going to finish business calls. I mean, we talked about that.
Yeah.
And that's been a great change.
It's been a great change.
Yes.
It's been a great change. And so you may not have a co-op where you are at, but what do you have? Where could you create? Where could you do the hard thing? If that's a challenge you have, where's that line you could draw where you're like, you know what? I'm not going to walk in the house on a phone call. Mm-hmm. I'm going to finish it at the office, or I'm going to finish it in the ditch or in the neighbor's drive. And I wouldn't even drive into our driveway because the kids were little enough. They were watching for daddy's pickup.
Yeah, right.
They so would that was out. Even worse.
Yeah.
What a jerk I am.
No.
So I would just drive past and avoid the house altogether until I was ready to give you 100% of my attention.
Yes.
But that was a hard thing.
That was hard. Thank you.
But look at the return on that.
Yeah.
The better relationships. I think better productivity.
Yes.
Because I feel like I'm a lot better at not taking calls when I'm not working.
Yeah.
So my challenge to everybody listening is what's the hard thing in your life? Maybe there's something on your list. Maybe it's following up with customers. Maybe you have a hard time shining a light on what is right at work. You know, we are so good at shining a light on what needs fixed and what is wrong. When you walk on a job site or you walk into the office, do you have this gift of a critical eye? Because it's easy to find what's wrong, but maybe the hard thing would be to walk around the job or walk around the office and man, shine a light on what's right and tell everybody how they're doing a good job. Maybe that's what's hard. Or maybe you're taking work home. Maybe there is no line between work and home. Maybe the hard thing for you would be to draw that line in the sand. Or maybe the hard thing for you is just to stop and go home and have some balance in your life. Trini, you got anything to add?
No, I think we'll have a lot of listener questions.
Well, I hope so. I hope we have some listener questions.
But yeah, that was really good.
Well, good.
Sorry, we went on and off topic quite a bit.
That's
okay.
We didn't really have a topic, so okay. It worked great. If you do have questions, shoot them over to info@nickbiddle.com. And if you want to sign up for the leadership drip, did I talk about that in the last session?
I don't know, but give them that number.
Yeah, okay. If you want to sign up for the leadership drip, it is text the word drip to number 866-998-4545. All right, guys. Till next time. Take care. We'll be right back.